War correspondent James Foley has reported from some of the most dangerous places in the world, including Afghanistan and Libya. Here he was reporting from Syria earlier this year.
A grim routine has taken hold in the fight for Syria's largest city. Army bombers strafe neighborhoods across Aleppo, while opposition fighters struggle to hold ground with much less powerful weapons.
On Thanksgiving Day, Foley was captured by a group of gunmen near the Syrian town of Idlib. His parents live in Rochester, New Hampshire, and for weeks, for their son's safety, they've been keeping news of his capture secret. But this afternoon, they called publicly for his release. With us now to talk about James Foley and the extremely dangerous year it's been for journalists around the world is Charlie Sennett. He's executive editor and co-founder of Global Post, a news service based here in Boston. Foley was on assignment for Global Post in Libya in 2011 when he was kidnapped by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi and held for 44 days. Charlie, thanks for talking with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And Charlie, the details of Jim's second kidnapping are pretty thin, but could you tell us what we do know?
Well, we're being very careful about all the details, so it's all spelled out very clearly on our site at globalpost.com that he was picked up in Idlib province in Syria, and that he was headed toward the border with Turkey, and this is a very dangerous area where there's been a lot of fighting that's gone on between the rebel forces and the government forces. And it's a very confusing and chaotic scene along those roads that cut through that province. And it's the precise area where Richard Engel of NBC News was also held hostage for 5 days. And then he and three crew members were being moved on that road by their captors and stumbled into a rebel fighter's roadblock and were lucky enough to be found out, essentially, which led to a firefight, which led to them being liberated. So they were very, very lucky. I've spent a lot of time with Richard on the phone in the last week or so, sort of trying to get our head around all of the chaos of that area. And as he describes it, it's just so layered and complex and unpredictable that that we really have very few facts at this point. And the few facts that we do have, we're being very careful to spell them out clearly and not go anywhere beyond those.
Would you say that chaos and violence you just described, has that made Syria a particularly dangerous place for war correspondents beyond there just being a war there right now?
It is uniquely dangerous. I mean, 28 people were killed in Syria covering the story in the year 2012, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists. And that makes it the most dangerous place in the world to operate as a journalist right now. And that comes in what has been the most dangerous year for journalists on record, according to the International Press Institute, which keeps sort of systematic data on the death of journalists.
And why is that? Why last year in particular? Such a grim toll.
I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think there's a lot of seething conflict in the world where journalists are unprotected, where they're not part of some formal military in which they are embedded to that military and under that military's protection, which was the case largely in Iraq and in Afghanistan for American or Western reporters who were traveling with the U.S. and allies in that region. In Syria, you have a completely chaotic civil war that's erupting on new fronts all the time, and that may have something to do with the very high level of fatality and kidnapping in Syria. It's not just fatalities, but just a great number of kidnappings. But in 2012, the total number killed was 132. And among that number were some really dear friends of mine and some of our greatest colleagues in the field, including New York Times' Anthony Shadid.
That's right.
And the Times of London's Marie Colvin. These were really some of the great correspondents. And Richard Engel and I have been talking on the phone about just what a terrible year 2012 was, not to mention, of course, that we go into 2013 with great worry and great concern.
Are you feeling like this is just the price we're going to have to pay for covering war zones now?
Well, I think it's a post 9/11 reality that journalists no longer are afforded any of those protections that they may have convinced themselves they had. Whether or not they really had those protections in the past, covering Vietnam or covering World War II or covering Korea or the other conflicts in which American journalists lost their lives, there always was a sense of immunity for the press. In fact, we used to wear big signs back in the day covering, for example, the war in the Balkans. We would say very, very openly, we were press. We would mark our vehicles with big signs that said TV, as if that afforded a protection. Danny Pearl was the first journalist killed after 9/11, and I think from that day forward, journalists have been very much imperiled in the work they do, trying to bring home the stories from these very dangerous places. It's important that everyone know, you know, just how courageous the souls are out there doing this work, how important that work is. They don't do it to be cowboys. They do it because they believe in the mission of telling the story and bringing it home from the front lines.
Charlie Sennett is executive editor of the Global Post News Service based here in Boston. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, rental car giant Avis buys car-sharing pioneer Zipcar. So what does that mean for both companies? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.